Metropolis. I think I'll talk to my analyst.
Hey, welcome to Superman's Other Pals, a podcast where I, Gary Rowland, talk about my favorite comic book series, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, to my 13-year-old daughter.
Ella Plum Rowland, who thinks my dad is insane.
Well, oh, I got insane. So how are you, Ella Plum? You alright?
I'm alright.
Is everything okay?
Everything's okay.
If this is the first time you're listening, welcome. If not, I don't know. Thanks for coming back. This is only the second episode, so I can't imagine that we've developed a real huge following at this point, because, you know.
Second episode.
And we don't know anybody. We have zero. We're just basically doing this, because I feel like it, and I can do it. Okay, so we are going to discuss Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, issue 2, which is for November-December 1954. I don't know if you heard. Perhaps you heard my daughter just burp.
Excuse me.
All right, so it starts off with a great cover, as always. The cover on the Jimmy Olsens can never be beat. Perhaps some of the greatest and most insane covers you will ever see. It is a circus big top. There is a trapeze artist, a woman trapeze artist. Looks like she missed the trapeze, and Superman is flying to save her, but also flying to save her is
Jimmy Olsen
in green, saying, "Don't spoil my act, Superman! I'll handle this situation," featuring the flying Jimmy Olsen.
He looks like Robin Hood without the hood.
Well, I could see that. Maybe that's what they were going for. They weren't very original back then. There were only so many things that they could draw from.
Fair.
Okay, so we open the door, and the first thing, we find the keys to success. Once again, the public service announcement in cooperation with the National Social Welfare Assembly, coordinating organizations for national health, welfare, and recreational agencies in the U.S. with Buzzy, a typical teen jazz trumpeter.
Is that seriously?
That's what it says. Okay, so Buzzy and his friend Wolfie. Wolfie, who looks, he kind of looks like a villain. He has black, slicked back hair.
The crazy eyebrows.
Weird eyebrows. And, of course, is vaguely Jewish.
What?
Because they were demonized in popular culture, I guess?
I don't know about.
And they've just been hired?
That sounds very stereotypical and bad.
Well, that's what these comic books thrived on in the 1950s.
Aww.
You wonder how stereotypes got perpetrated? Here's one of the ways. So Buzzy finds the keys to success. They are both hired by a store manager, saying after-school delivery boy wanted 4 to 6 p.m. And,
That's a two-hour work day.
On Monday, you see Buzzy. He's, busy doing some stuff, and Wolfie's just looking at him. Tuesday, it's the end of the day, and he's saying, "Oh, one more for today, boys. Who'll take it?" And Wolfie goes, "Eh, I'm tired." And Buzzy goes, "I'll go around that way. Deliver it on my way home." And on Wednesday, Mrs. Jones, I don't know, she forgot something. She said, "Wait a minute, you forgot to bring the flour I ordered." And Wolfie says, "It'll have to wait till tomorrow." And then Buzzy says, "Oh dear, you didn't bring the sugar. I'm sure I ordered it." So apparently,
Buzzy didn't say that.
So Buzzy, yeah, that's right. That's what Buzzy says. Because apparently, the store clerk is terrible and can't get the orders right to save his life. So, but Buzzy says, "Don't worry, Miss Brown, I'll be back in a jiffy." So he goes and comes back. Thursday, "You didn't have to do this, Buzzy, but I appreciate it. Work would always be fun if everybody was as nice to get along with as you." Meanwhile, we see Wolfie
reading a comic book.
That's right, not doing anything interesting.
Or a magazine or a book.
Other than contributing to probably DC Comics. Probably not even a DC comic. Probably a...
It's just like a two... It's not even, like, there's not any graphics. It's like he folded a paper in half and opened it and pretended to read it.
It might as be one of those, like, three trifold reflectors. No, those three trifold reflectors that people look at to,
so
like, look at them the same.
Some rays right. In the middle of a store.
Exactly. But it doesn't matter. He's just lazy. And on Saturday, store owner breaks the news. "We won't need you after today, Wolfie. Frankly, your work was not satisfactory." Buzzy.
And he's so shocked.
And Buzzy's like, "How do you like that, Buzzy? We're fired. You just can't win." And then, the store owner goes, "Oh no, you can stay, Buzzy. Wolfie, you're the idiot. Get out."
He doesn't say idiot.
But, you know, but that's basically the thing, is just like, you know, if you're going to get a job, do the job well.
If you're going to do something, don't do it halfway.
That's right.
That's the great lesson for today, kids.
That's right, because they haven't figured that out already. So, from there, we jump right into the first story. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. I'm now going to break into my announcer voice.
Oh, God.
Okay. Besides being a Star Cub reporter, young Jimmy Olsen enjoys the honor of being Superman's pal. But still another exciting role always awaits Jimmy when a strange quirk of fate gives him one of Superman's great powers, enabling him to become the Flying Jimmy Olsen. And now we have a panel that that shows Jimmy Olsen flying through the door, and Superman going, "Your turn, Jimmy. Glad to have a rest. Now and then, while my understudy takes over, I'll get those crooks, pal." And then he's flying in through the door to bust the crooks. Really doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the story.
Except proves that Superman is taking advantage of Jimmy Olsen.
Exactly. So, Ella Plum, my teenage daughter, why don't you tell the lovely people out there in podcasting land what the flying... Not the whole thing. Just tell us... Just give us a general overview of what the Flying Jimmy Olsen is all about.
So, Superman...
You don't have to speak so loud.
I know.
The microphone's right there.
I know.
But you're just like, "Zow!
Dad!" So, Superman, apparently, there's no former mention of this, but this is only issue 2. So, Superman brings back little trinkets from his... I don't know where the heck he's going, but his adventures to far-off lands and planets and universes and galaxies and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, to start with, you forget, like, yes, he brings stuff from far-off lands, but he starts by handing him a new trinket, which is what?
I don't know what it is. Is that a gun?
It is a gun.
It's a gun.
That he has?
That he has what?
It's a gun that Superman used his super strength on to tie to turn into a knot.
I can't tell. It's not.
Look, it's right there. It's very clear.
No, it's not.
All right, so...
Looks like someone drew a squiggly blue line.
So he gives him a gun.
And then Superman changes as into Clark Kent and comes on. And Jimmy's like, "Look what I got from Superman!" And Clark is thinking like, "Oh my god, this... If he only knew..." that, and he brings the gun home and to put it in his collection. And then he sees a box. Yeah.
You don't have to look. We have this issue open, and Ella Plum's trying to read from the whole thing, but we just want to... Can you just tell us what's happening?
All right. He finds this potion in a box of sand. And apparently it says if you drink it, you will gain the powers from... What does it say?
Day. By formula, I don't know.
He will gain powers for one day. And he's thinking like, "Oh, well, this... won't do any harm to me whatsoever. It's a mystery bottle of mystery liquid from another planet right. that could kill me. But what the heck? If it says it could give me powers for a day, I'm gonna drink it."
Telling you all, kids, hey, don't forget, whenever you see a strange bottle, maybe you should drink it, children. Just drink a strange bottle. You
so
might get
dumb.
Superpowers.
This is so dumb.
So he drinks it and then falls asleep. And then what happens?
He wakes up and is... And he's like 5 feet off the ground, and he woke up because he hit his head on the ceiling.
Because?
Because he can fly!
That's right. Superman, he has been given the power of flight.
Superman has not been given the power of flight.
Superman already had the power of flight.
Jimmy Olsen.
Now he's like, "Yippee! Super duper! I can fly!"
And then people are like, "Who's that? Who's that up there?" And then he comes across a circus tent.
Right. Just so happens there's a circus tent, but not just any circus.
A closed down circus.
That's right. The circus is, it's going on the outs. Nobody wants to go to the circus anymore.
Why doesn't anybody want to go to the circus?
Maybe they're terrible, because they're terrible to animals.
Yeah, but there are other acts in the circus that
I don't know. It seems to work for, maybe their contract with Las Vegas fell through.
This is in Metropolis.
There's some kind of scandal.
This is in Metropolis.
Yes, it is in Metropolis. So.
So no Las Vegas.
Jimmy Olsen, being, from the old-timey movie situation, says that the only way to solve this is to...
put on a costume and show off my superpowers.
That's right. I've got to be a superhero, and we're going to save it by putting on a show! We're going to put on a show that saves the day. Now...
dressed as Robin Hood.
Now remember, he only has the power for a day, so there'll be this show.
And then nothing else after that.
That's right.
People will just come in and be like, "But we thought there was a flying dude."
Right. The word will get out, and they'll be like, "Hey, look, there was...
There's no, we just had the one flying guy. I'm sorry.
There's no more flying guy.
And then we'll save the show for one more day.
One more day.
So he has the show and he puts on the show.
And then he misses the trapeze and starts falling.
Right. But everybody goes, oh no, look, that poor man is going to fall to his death.
And then...
And he says, I missed deliberately, but instead of falling, I spread my cape and roar back on the bar. And everybody goes, oh.
Ooh, ah.
So then, who just happens to be flying by the circus, but...
Superman! Right.
Because Superman, aside from being Jimmy Olsen's surrogate dad, is God, and is omnipresent, and is able to be everywhere and anywhere at the same time. And he comes and he says, I'll save you, but Jimmy Olsen goes, you don't need to save me!
I can fly now!
And then, he's like, just go back and watch the show!
And Superman goes down and sits in between Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
What? How is that possible?
Did I read that? No, it's Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
I know, how is
Superman.
That? And they say, but how can this be? Superman and Clark Kent together when they're the same person?
They really do look like, how did no one ever notice?
I don't know.
So, it's just...
I really wish, you know. Hey, switch glasses! So then we go on to the second part of the show, because it's not just about flying around on trapezes, because apparently when you're given you're now also given the ability to
fight tigers and lions in a cage.
Exactly.
Without a chair and a whip, because apparently that's something real people use.
Right. Well, at the time, yes. Classically, at the time, you saw chairs and whips being used.
Why chairs, though?
To like, hold them back.
Okay.
I don't know. But you saw it in movies all the time. Lion tamers had whips and chairs. I don't know why they had chairs.
They just did. Maybe they need to sit down.
Gunther Gable Williams did not have.
Gunther Gable.
Okay. There was a time where Gunther Gable Williams was the lion tamer for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Oh, right.
It was him and Michu.
Michu?
Michu was the world's smallest man.
Oh, my God.
And they were both the big draws to the circus. And Gunther Gable Williams, he made the lions and tigers do what he wants, but only with a whip. There was no chair.
Yay, no chairs. Chairs are useless.
Yes, he just beat them. He just beat them with a whip. He didn't beat them with a chair.
I don't mean... Yay, yes. Animal cruelty. I mean, chairs are useless, so why use them?
You could sit on them.
Yes, but then the lion would maul you. I almost feel like we've gotten off track here, Dad.
Almost?
Almost.
All right, well, so he starts to, he's like, oh no, I forgot my whip and my chair as dictated by the stereotype. So, so the lions and tigers start to,
try to maul him.
And then he just flies around them and confuses them. And then he hears...
Bang! Bang! Pow! Pow!
Pow! Excellent sound effects. Good Foley work on the part of my daughter, Ella Plum.
Dad!
And suddenly, without warning, the circus is robbed.
By two... Is that purple suit?
I don't know. By some guys. Some guys in suits.
Some guys in suits.
One of the guys is... wearing a purple suit.
Since that's apparently a thing.
And so, Jimmy Olsen flies into action. But he doesn't go alone. What does he grab?
A sword from the sword swallower's basket.
Wouldn't he be afraid?
That would be, like, vastly unsanitary.
But wouldn't he be afraid that it'd be like, ew, this one's got goo on it. Ew, this is gross.
Insanely unsanitary.
He's going to give them a cold. So then he comes back and he fights off.
And they're like, hey, is that Superman?
And they're like, no. And he says, yipes, which is one of those words that they use in comic books.
I said yipes once when I got scared by a spider.
Almost.
And you looked at me like I was a character from Scooby-Doo.
Exactly, because nobody says yipes.
This was a really big spider.
Yipes. And so he comes and he beats the guys, and then Superman comes in and he helps them out.
And then Clark gets shot.
And Clark gets shot!
Is that an orange suit?
Yes, there's a guy in an orange suit. There's a guy in an orange suit, a guy in a blue suit, and a guy in a purple suit.
Where are these fashion things coming? You don't see a lot of orange suits.
Well, you have to know which guy is which. You don't see purple suits either, really. Maybe it's supposed to be brown. He takes the sword and he cuts one of the guy's suspenders off.
So rather than,
you know, skewering them horribly, he just sort of embarrasses him a little bit.
Because this is the 1950s and you can't show people getting stabbed in comic books.
But he sees that Clark has now been shot, but how can that possibly be?
Clark is Superman.
That's right.
But Superman's right next to him, so it's pretty clear in this case that Clark isn't Superman.
Right. But we still don't know why. So Superman picks up Clark Kent and flies him to the hospital. But we don't know why. And then he's not done, this Jimmy Olsen, with his act.
When did he get locked in a water tank?
He's broken up the crime and, as a professional consummate showman, goes back in time to...
drown himself.
To drown himself. So he gets himself locked, and he's underwater, and he's like, oh!
Oh no, the potion wore off!
But it's also weird because, you know, just because he's underwater, he can still suffocate. Flying won't help him underwater. But suddenly, he's like, oh, I'm drowning! And then the next thing we find out...
ring, ring, ring. Psh, hey, what the heck? He wakes up.
It has been a horrible dream. This entire show, from the time he goes to sleep...
goes is...
yes, from the entire time he goes to sleep on page 2 to the very end here, he's been asleep.
Something or other.
And this is all a horrible dream. And since Jimmy didn't know...
and he looks back at the label and says, this is a magical sleep potion.
Because he can't...
because he can't read.
Right. So, he's like, you know, that's the last time I'll drink a weird potion from a box from another world.
It's probably not gonna be the last time he drinks a weird potion from a box from another world. That's
it's
the
true.
Thing, though.
The end.
The end!
Alright, so then we go to the next one. After another one, we have Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
There is hardly a more ordinary crime than the theft of jewels. But when the loot vanishes, the crime becomes twice as difficult to solve. It takes the combined ingenuity of Jimmy Olsen, Cub Reporter, and his pal Superman to crack open the hide-and-seek mystery.
They have the craziest names for these things.
Well, they have to.
Why?
You gotta get people in. Sure, they're in for the flying daredevil.
Yeah, but that sounds more like something like a kid went missing playing hide-and-seek.
Doesn't matter. So, we see that there is a crime going on, and everybody's grabbing everybody. And then they say, who? I've got the loot. No, I've got it. Me, no, who, what, up? And Superman's all confused.
They may as well be those pelicans from Nemo going, mine.
Right. Everybody loves penguins.
I said pelicans.
Neither of us are right, by the way. It's seagull.
Either way.
All right. So it starts with sometimes Cub Reporter of the Daily Planet covers the news front far from Metropolis because he's in Mid-City, and he's there with our old pal. You may remember him from issue 1.
Jumbo Jones.
The fat guy who drives the helicopter.
Oh, God. Where are they coming up with the names for these towns, though?
Mid-City.
Metropolis.
Right. Smallville. Unassuming place. Not very important land. Okay, so they break up the crime. They see the crime, and rather than leaving it to the authorities, like many people would, they decide that they are going to take the criminal down, and Jumbo Jones, they have this old routine where Jumbo Jones falls in front of them. And knocks them over. And the guy says one of those things that you'll only hear in comic books.
Yee-I!
No, it's, yes, just Y-I-I-I. And so he falls, and then whap, Jimmy Olsen budges him in the face.
And I'm not sure if that knocks him out or what.
It knocks him enough for the police to catch him. But some people got away. They got valuable uncut diamonds. Very important to the story later on.
Uncut diamonds.
Uncut diamonds.
I know.
They have them. They're there.
I've seen them.
So they break the one, and then, they're afraid that a bunch of people got away. One of them being Slug Martin.
With the... what is the name of the gang on this one?
What is it? It's
the... Purple Gang.
Although none of them wore a purple suit, unlike in the last story.
They should all just be wearing purple suits. That would be...
I think so.
Jimmy Olsen's wearing a purple suit in this one.
But he's not a member of the Purple Gang.
No.
So... he writes the story and says, too bad that Slug Martin got away. Slug Martin, because he's a slug.
Well, if he was a slug, wouldn't caught him
you would
not
think,
the other guy?
I guess it's because he punches.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
fair.
And he's not very small and is easily destroyed with salt.
Why?
So he types it up, and then once we have the obligatory scene with Clark Kent, where they have an interaction, where there is a thought bubble where we see...
Clark is just thinking, if he only knew I were Superman.
Right.
This happens in every single comic.
Every episode, every single story, there has to be a moment where Superman, where Clark Kent changes into Superman and then says, if only Jimmy knew that Clark Kent and Superman were the same person.
Does he ever think of telling Jimmy, ever?
No.
So he's just never gonna tell him, but every time, like, he changes from Superman to Clark Kent, or vice versa, he's like, if only Jimmy knew.
Right.
But he never plans on telling him.
Mm-mm.
Why?
Because he's afraid that people might take him and use him as leverage.
People take him already.
I don't, look.
He's been kidnapped already.
I don't know what to tell you. All I know is that he is, you know, that he just decides that it's better that he not know.
All right, then.
So, he hears that he's trapped on... There's a climber trapped on Mount Baldy. So he decides he's going to take the flying helicopter there. The flying newsroom. Him and Jumbo are going to get... They're not going to rescue him.
They're just going to get the story.
But Superman decides he's going to rescue him. So they rescue him, but they find out that it's a member of the Purple Gang.
Again.
A guy named, what's his name?
Squinty.
So there's Squinty Ames. And Slug.
Squinty Ames and Slug, what's his face?
Right. And he's like, it's too much of a coincidence. Doesn't tie in with the diamond job.
This Purple Gang sure gets around a lot.
And they have the most colorful nickname. They're Slug and Squinty.
What are they even? Okay, yeah, that actually both makes sense.
Okay, so Slug and Squinty, Slug's still at large. Squinty he's been caught. But they said something is still fishy about those mountain climbers. And what? He's got Gunner Martin, Caesar Sykes, Slug Martin, Squinty Ames, and just Bob Dunn.
Bob Dunn.
Just Bob Dunn.
Bob Dunn.
He must be like new. They must not have invented a new thing for him yet.
This is Slug, Squinty, and Bob.
And then there's a second problem. There's a big fire on Pike Island, and they set off a mysterious explosion. So he has to go cover it. So they go in the flying helicopter. And Superman shows up yet again. Helicopter does not rescue the people.
Superman does.
Superman does. And he can't just blow out the fire.
Because they'll get burned by the ashes.
Right.
He tips a boat onto it.
But he is blowing the ashes away. So he could. But he happens to see at the bottom of the lake...
A boat.
A boat that is sunk. So he takes it.
And he uses it like a giant water pushing thing and splashes right. The fire.
And those guys, well, they are all killed by the water rushing on them.
That would make more sense.
That would make more sense. But it doesn't happen. So they got him. And now Superman and so Jimmy and Jumbo head back to the flying newsroom. Ooh. And they see on the island is Gunner Barton and
Bob Dunn.
Just Bob Dunn.
Bob Dunn.
Not even like Robert Bob Dunn. Just Bob Dunn.
Bob Dunn.
They must have been tired. So they see that Bob Dunn and they were all out. Bob Dunn Gunner and Bob Dunn were out there, and they come back and they find
Gunner diamonds.
No, they figure that something must have happened, and they must have dropped those diamonds into the helicopter
because you know the Purple Gang's everywhere that the helicopter would be.
Right.
So they think, oh, someone must be trying to distract us.
So what happened was is that the Purple Gang is actually deliberately making tragedies for Superman and the flying newsroom to show up, and then they would get the diamonds that they hid in the flying newsroom in the drawer, because absolutely nobody ever looks in the drawer. Because why would anybody open the drawer of a desk?
Because no one needs a pen. Or a stapler?
Never.
Or a paperclip?
Never.
Ever? Or, like, extra ink it's for just, the typewriter?
It's just, like, how dumb do they think children are? I mean, really. Do they think that kids are so dumb that whatever they're told... Were you this dumb as a child?
Was I?
I don't know.
I don't think I was.
I don't know.
But I make a point of thinking that I'm not dumb.
But, you know, people tell people about things all the time, like various, you know, unsundry spirits that give them money at holiday time.
What? Yeah, that.
Well, you know, that's, you know, but so I guess. So, but Jimmy decides that he's going to hide it, so he hides it in a new place. And then, all of a sudden, the guys bust in, and they hold him at gunpoint, and they're looking, and they're looking, and their hands are tied, and Jimmy Olsen, as we all know,
has this special watch.
and the special watch can summon Superman. So they summon Superman.
By tricking the other guy, the bad guys, into summoning Superman.
That's right. He can't reach it because their hands are tied, because he ties them up. Didn't want to touch the watch as soon as he saw the guys with the guns.
Just now.
Like, if I were him.
Jimmy Olsen has to, like, figure out how to plan ahead.
If I were him, my first move whenever anybody put a gun on me would be to
hit the watch with the little knobby thing.
Right. So Jimmy Olsen says, hey, why don't you take my watch? You'll find the diamonds, but here, take my watch. It's a great watch. And why don't you twist that knob
and see what it does?
It does the coolest thing.
And the guy, like, twists the thing, and he's like, nothing's happening.
And then Superman shows up and beats the hell out of him. And then, Jimmy Olsen, once again, works with Jumbo Jones.
Jumbo Jones.
And they knock Gunnar Barton over with their old stumble into him and punch him routine.
Because apparently that's very effective.
And, he hides these uncut diamonds so they don't shine. Where does he hide them?
In the peanut bowl.
Peanuts.
They don't look like peanuts.
And then once again, solved, all taken care of by Jimmy Olsen. He does it all. All right. Last story. That brings us to the last story. Basking at the beach on vacation, Jimmy Olsen, cub reporter for the Daily Planet, also basks privately in the glory of being Superman's pal. But strangely, something happens to his friendship with the famous Man of Steel, and Jimmy's relaxing rest becomes a race to solve the riddle of why he's Jimmy Olsen, Superman's ex-pal. So, El Plum, will you kindly let us know what's happening?
So, he's at the beach, and he's with his friend Betty.
Betty. Many girlfriends at this time are called Betty.
Betty. And she goes in and starts struggling, and he goes in, swims in, tries to save her, and then this lifeguard guy, I forget what his name is, real big jerk. He's like, they have lifeguards for that, Jimmy.
Well, I think his name is actually, let's just call him Big Jerk.
Big Jerk.
Big Jerk.
Big Jerk.
And he's the guy that says, you know, oh, I should be saving her, because I'm a big jerk.
I'm a lifeguard.
Right. And Jimmy goes, oh, well, I'm Superman's pal.
And he says, oh, yeah.
Right. And, you know, Ben, you know, he's like, that big jerk's just a big jerk.
Betty says that.
And Betty says he's jealous because, you know, you're Superman's pal.
Well, why did he just deny it then? So there's apparently a party somewhere that evening.
Right.
And everyone's going.
It's, you know, they're at the resort. They're taking a little R&R. He's there with Betty, and they're all going, and they see Superman. And Jimmy says,
hey, Superman, how are ya?
And Superman goes, I don't know who you are.
Well, he's more like,
I think this is another dream sequence. Do you think it's another dream? It might be.
I don't know. Has Clark Kent showed up yet? And are there flying monkeys?
No. Yeah, a lot of dreams have flying monkeys.
I don't know.
So then Superman shows up at the front desk and says, you know, there have been a lot of robberies around here. I'll protect you.
If you give me 10% of your profit for tonight.
And everybody's like, what? Which is weird. It's out of character for Superman.
Because he's always like, I'm doing this for the greater good of humanity.
Right, because he does all that he does for humanity. No money. And so, as a warning aid, he crushes a rock in front of the safe. To get footprints from people?
To hear if they're coming. Like, if they step on the gravel, his super hearing supposedly will pick it up.
Okay. But he crushes a rock, like Superman would. Because we all know that Superman crushes rocks all the time. He's always crushing rocks.
Well, he definitely could if he wanted to.
He's crushing the rocks. Everybody's like, ooh, he must be Superman. He crushes rocks.
No one's really walking.
No human being can crush rocks.
Except for, like, the hotel guy and Jimmy Olsen hiding from behind a potted plant.
Right. So Jimmy goes to the party with his friend, and they see
the Superman. Big jerk.
Superman is there, and it looks like the big jerk is getting ready to steal his girlfriend. And he figures he's trying to get Superman's attention, but Superman's not paying any attention to him at all.
He's like, wait, Superman, where are you going? Who are you, and why do you assume you know?
Right. So Jimmy leaves the party, and then what does he see?
He sees two guys by a boat, because this is apparently a hotel on, like, a pier where there are boats. cops, and they're getting into the safe that Superman supposedly has under his protection.
Right, so what does he do?
He calls Superman again.
How does he call him? Does he say, "Hey, Superman!"
No, we twist the magic watch thingy.
That's right, twist the magic watch thingy, and he's standing all over those stones that was crushed earlier. These bad guys, and he's not hearing anything.
It's softer than I, like, you can't even hear his foot going down like it like you normally would.
And now,
he goes into the party.
And he's like, "Hey, Supes!
I know you're not Superman. What have you done with Superman? I'm gonna punch you in the face because I'm so mad at you."
Right. And so he punches him. And he says, "Soup, snub me, eh?" Because Big Jerk says, "Look who's showing his red face again. Want me to introduce you to your so-called pal, Jimmy? Ha, ha, ha! Don't worry. I know him, the double crosser." And then he punches him unconscious.
Not unconscious.
And then Big Jerk goes, "Holy mackerel! Has Jimmy gone crazy socking Superman?"
Apparently he has.
And then they just get into a fight.
And Jimmy's winning.
Superman and Jimmy get into a fight, and Jimmy's getting the better of him. And then suddenly, who shows up?
The real Superman!
Wow!
There are two Supermans.
And he, what? And everybody goes, "What? What? What?
What?"
And then what does Jimmy say? He's like, "I knew all along that he wasn't the real Superman.
I even broke his fake chin to prove it."
That's right. See? It's all a mask.
Just his chin.
Have you ever seen anybody with a fake chin? I mean, have you ever seen anybody in, like, prosthetic makeup that's not in a movie, like, in real life? You can totally tell that it is somebody with a real... I mean, unless it's Jay Leno.
Very nice, Dad.
Very nice. Oh, well, you know, it's Jay Leno. We all know his chin is real. You want to just go and, like, try to rattle it, but it's not. It's real. But he knew it was all that. But what? He crushed a rock, Superman. That the other Superman crushed a rock.
It's a sponge,
right?
Because, painted to look like rock.
Because rocks and sponges look exactly the same.
I don't know. It could be like some sort of sandstone or something, like a whatchamacallit, like a sedimentary.
So then the jig is up, takes him away, and Superman says, "Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy is my friend because I am Superman, and everyone knows that Jimmy Olsen is Superman's pal."
And Big Jerk is like, "I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry." And Jimmy's like, "It's okay. No hard feelings, pal."
Big Jerk.
He doesn't even, like, he's smiling in the picture. Like, there's nothing, he's not like, "Oh, yeah, like, totally." He's not sarcastic or anything. This is all totally sincere.
And then he's going off. In the very end, we see that he is going off with Betty, and Superman is on the dock holding a newspaper telling everybody, "Superman and boy pal nab bandits."
And he's like, "Oh, Jimmy's on a date. I should probably go the other way now."
Right. "I'm going to rape and murder this woman." Wait, have I said too much?
Yeah.
I've gone too dark.
Yeah. Very much.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Because he's not super... That's not something Superman's pal would do.
No. Also, he's 17.
Is he 17? Do you know how
they
old he is?
They say he's 17.
Where do they say it?
I don't even remember, but I know he's like 17, 18, somewhere around there.
All right.
And he stays that way for 20 years because, you know, people in comic books don't age.
Right. All right. So that is issue 2 of Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. L. Plum Roland, do you have anything to plug?
No.
Me neither. All right.
Wait, I've got a game on September 10th.
September 10th, L.A. Junior Derby Dolls, LADerbyDolls.com, I guess.
I guess.
That would be that. You can get tickets there. I'm Gary Roland.
I'm Ella Plum Roland.
And we are Superman's other pal. See you later. Bye. I got a pocket.